WATD presents John Paul, the Car Doctor. All things automotive. Have questions? Call 781-837-4900. Now, here's John Paul, the Car Doctor.
And good Sunday morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Car Doctor program on 95.9 WATD. My name is John Paul, the Car Doctor, here to help you with your car problems on this Sunday morning. And as always, we're live, and Tim's filling in the studio for Jesse. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, John. Great to be here.
Well, great to be here as well. And for those people who knew, I said my wife was going home to go visit the relatives for a week, and I survived a week on my own.
You know, good for you.
I didn't get in too much trouble.
All right.
I managed to not wreck the house while I was here. You know,
No flashing lights outside.
Nothing at all. Good. Nothing at all. Pretty boring here. You know, there's a lot of different enthusiast groups, and there's a lot of, you know, there's car shows all over the place, and you know, where I am right now in Florida, there is a really good Wednesday morning cars and coffee event, and it's called Englewood Car Crazy. They have a lot of good stuff going on, and I see new stuff there every time I'm there. Everything from real old cars that are kind of beyond me because they're too old to some late model classics and sort of everything in between. So I love the whole enthusiast community. And one day I kind of have a soft spot for Volkswagens. And one day I was kind of tinkering around on the internet, and popped up was a group called the Women of Wolfsburg. And it's an all-women Volkswagen enthusiast group. And with us on the phone is the founder and president, Shay Cooper. Shay, good morning, and welcome to the Car Doctor program.
Good morning. It's nice to touch base with you.
And tell us a little bit, first off, about you and what you like about Volkswagens and Audis, I would guess, as well, and how this whole group got together.
Yeah. So years ago, honestly, my older brother had bought like a Jetta. And I remember I was like 11 years old. I got in it and I was like, this thing's really cool, from like the way you touch the knobs, the way the doors shut, to everything about it. It was like a really cool car. And in retrospect, it was not that cool. But it got me interested. And I, when I got my license, I had some BMWs, some Subarus. But when I graduated college, I saved up, and I remember I bought a 99.5 GTI, and everything from the way it handled, the way it was balanced, just the way it ran, it was amazing. And it had 345,000 miles on it, and it just kept going. And it just sparked this whole, like, underlying love I always had for Volkswagen. And from that day on, that's what I've bought. So I'm 12 years into owning, you know, probably almost 100 Volkswagens. Right now I have 8. Through all the different generations, and it's just kind of snowballed from there.
And how many did you say you have right now?
Right now I have 8.
Where do you keep them?
I'm very lucky with the house that I own.
Okay.
Very lucky. So they're all here. There is some reality behind the madness. Volkswagen does a really great job with unique editions, right? So they launch all these cool colors, these cool editions with Recaros, with, you know, awesome BBS wheels, things like that. And they do it for every generation. So I've been slowly buying every generation since, you know, 1979 with the Mark 1. So right now, you know, the current Mark 8, I've been buying all the cool editions and restoring them and trying to save them. So that's where that number comes from. That's how I justify it personally.
And do you do most of the work yourself?
I do. Yep. Yeah, I try not to come to anything else unless we start getting into, you know, rust and fabrication. I'm a mediocre welder at best, so that does get sent out. But, you know, usually I try to stay away from the rusty cars.
And a lift at your house?
No, I'm on the ground. I have a beam in the middle of my garage that does not let me have a lift, so it's rough.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, the you know, it was kind of funny. I was the neighborhood that I'm in now. I was driving by one day, and there was, I want to say it was a younger couple, and they had music cranked up really loud, and I stopped, and I'm sure they were thinking, oh, there's this old guy complaining about the music. But in the, in their yard was a, and it wasn't original. It was probably a Mark II, but they did it up as a Harlequin edition. And I just stopped and looked at it and said, and I'm sure they were going to say, you know, they expected me to say, "Hey, can you turn down your music? It's too loud." And I'm like, "No, tell me about your car. Did you do this yourself? Did you, you know?" And they're like, and they, you know, in detail told me about how they actually had all of the colors done in a vinyl wrap. And it came out really, really good. And, you know, for anyone who's never seen a Harlequin edition Golf or Rabbit, I think they were Rabbits when they first came out, right? The Harlequin edition one?
They're always golf.
So okay, yep. But this one came out really good, and it just, you know, it stood out so much. I just had to like stop and chat with them for a while, and the idea that they, you know, that they did this and put it all together was really kind of cool to see. So it was a fun car to look at, and you know, fun group to meet. So tell us a little bit more about the Women of Wolfsburg.
Yeah, so it started as honestly me and my friend just saying, we should have a car show for all the other women who love German cars. And if I'm being totally clear, it was just kind of our ploy to be like, I bet we can find more girlfriends who like cars if we have an all-girls show.
Yeah.
And, you know, we tried before COVID. It couldn't happen. And then after COVID, we were finally able to do it. And the first year, we just had a show. It was awesome. We met girls, lots of girls with Volkswagens. We actually connected with other women who were just like, hey, there's no spot for us in the community as women, can we come to your show? And we're like, of course you can, it's fine, you know. Yep. Enjoy the network. And then, you know, from there it became us really starting to highlight what women are doing, because when you open the floodgates, it really comes through, and all of a sudden you're meeting women who love Volkswagens, they own shops, you're meeting women who have built their cars from the ground up, they just don't say anything, and all of a sudden you're like, well, come to our show, or, you know, why don't we have this meet, and why don't we find women up and down the coast who want to meet us in Georgia, in Florida, Tennessee, wherever, and let's all hang out and have a meet and talk about our cars. And that's where we've been now, is we've built this awesome community. We travel a lot. I'm all over the East Coast right now, going to shows, encouraging women to come out, talk about their cars, show us what they're doing, and building this really awesome community. And, you know, this is our fifth year. We're really happy about that. And the community we've built is just, it's so great. Everywhere I go in Rhode Island, Massachusetts, I run into another girl with a Volkswagen who knows about us, and they love it, and it's a really cool feeling.
I can imagine it is. And as you've started to build this community up, and like you said, some of it's, you know, shop owners that maybe specialize in Volkswagen and Audi vehicles, and the idea that it's and, you know, I've always said you can kind of do anything you want, and it still is a little surprise sometimes. And right near where I am, there's a AAA approved auto repair shop. It's completely women owned shop. It's a great place to go. And I just went in there one day to chat with the folks, because it is a little unusual to still to this day to meet women who are in the automotive repair industry. But it's something when I was there was a time I was thinking about being a Votech teacher, and it was a thing that we were constantly encouraging. And it was interesting. We in my family, we have two Volkswagens right now. We have a 2015 Beetle convertible and an 09 Beetle convertible. And the 09, like a lot of them, had some rust around the rocker panels. And I took it to the local Votech school a little bit south of Boston near where I used to live, and asked about having the rust repaired. And I said, I don't have the time to do it right. I don't have the time to pull the fenders off and do it right. Can you just knock the rust off, paint it, and by the way, can you fix one of the rear windows is screwed up like they always do? And their body shop did it. And I said, oh, can I meet the group that did the repairs? And because they had some stuff to give them, it was two women in the auto body shop that came out, and they said, oh, we're the ones who worked on your car. And I said, great. And I said, it's really good to see these young girls starting to think about getting into the auto body business. I said, because you'll find out that, you know, you'll probably do really well at it. So it's really good to see women in the industry. I love to see that.
Yeah, it's I went to a tech school myself just north of Boston, and I remember, you know, I graduated in 2008, and there is a big, things have shifted a lot, because I remember it was like a handful of women who did auto body and automotive, and I remember thinking, wow, that's really cool, but that's like, it was still different then, and now when I go back or I engage with my old high school, the balance is wild. There's so many more women who are just like, I'm doing this and I don't care, and that energy has been like so good to see, and like, it just brings more and more women in. You know, I know more and more women who own shops who are building the coolest cars out there. And it's just, it's like almost becoming normalized. And it's really exciting.
And do you think YouTube has really encouraged this? Do you think because now all of a sudden you can see the people you would have never met that that are building some of these cool cars? And they might not be Volkswagens. They might be you know, a Toyota product or something.
Yeah, I think being able to, especially, I guess, in the woman context, being able to be like, there's a bunch of women on the internet who are doing exactly what I want to do. Well, that means I can do it. And it kind of strips away any of that self-doubt you might have had that we kind of grew up with. Because it's like, well, everyone's doing this. I can do this. I mean, listen, I'm a marketing person. I have a master's degree in marketing. I'm not a mechanic. But I use a lot of YouTube, and my cars mostly run. So, you know, it makes a difference.
It really does, and I really do. I mean, it's because of the radio program, and because, frankly, I'm old. I've got to meet a lot of interesting people that have I've you know, whether they're, you know, mechanics or whether they're race car drivers, you know, and it's, you know, Leah Pruitt, you know, funny car driver, you know, absolutely a joy to talk to, and the idea that, you know, she's in this sport that, you know, Shirley Muldowney was one of the first people to do it and almost was, you know, scorned for being in that sport. And now that people are doing it all the time, or and she's gotten pretty famous now too, but there's a girl here from, I think she's in Sarasota, Florida, Riley Schlick, and she, when she was 13, she was trying to build a Jurassic Park Jeep with her dad and to try to earn money to buy all the parts. Her father taught her how to rebuild carburetors, and she's become like the Endelbrock carburetor master rebuilder, and she's doing, like, her and three of her friends are rebuilding, like, I don't know, a dozen carburetors a week, and they're making decent money at it, and she's able to finance her projects, and I think she's going to UConn now. It's her first year in college, and what was kind of funny about it all was somebody sent her, because she was doing some welding, a company sent her a welder, and I said, so is this the new college rules that, you know, you can't have a hot plate, a microwave, or a MIG welder in your room? And she got back to me and said, no, I'm keeping the MIG welder at home. I'm not taking it to college. But the idea that, you know, here's this young woman who's gone to all these different events, and she's made quite a name for herself in something that, you know, wouldn't be thought of 10 years ago. And the idea that, you know, like you said, it gives people this encouragement to keep on doing it. And like you said, you went to a tech school, and, you know, when you were there, it, you know, there wasn't a lot of women in that side of the business. So it's great to see it, and it's great to see more and more of it.
Yeah. I mean, we're grateful for it. And it's like every year I do this, I meet a new group of, you know, faces at every different meet, because we have a pretty consistent schedule where, when it gets really bad in winter, we start going to car shows in Florida. That is a personal choice there. But yeah, we work our way up the coast, and you just meet more and more women every year, and the meets get bigger. Our personal show that we have in September gets bigger. More people are excited about it. And it's not just women. You know, last year we had our show with women on the show field for sure, but we had such awesome support from the men, especially in like the local Rhode Island area, who just came out and they contributed to the raffles to make sure that the nonprofit we support, Foundation Blue, was getting the money they needed. And it's like this whole great community that wasn't there, and now it's there. And it just, the amount of growth is probably my favorite part of it, is just seeing more and more people be like, this is great, this is what we're doing. And it means we're going to get to the point where, like, you don't even have to call out that women need to do this, because women are doing it.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
that's the goal.
Absolutely. And it's kind of, and I have a little bit of a bias towards old Volkswagens too, like old air-cooled Volkswagens. And I met a woman this past Wednesday that had a 1985 Beetle, and I'm like, well, they. I was confused when I saw it. I mean, 85, I think it was. And I looked at it, I'm like, this thing's brand new. And she said, well, I've always had Beetles. I always had them. I had them when I was in school. I had them when I was in college. I had them when I first got married. I always wanted a new one. And I said, well, this thing's brand new. And she said, well, it came from Mexico. It was shipped to Italy. It never went anywhere. It spent all its time in a container. And I bought it in, I think she said she bought it in Tallahassee, Florida. It had 1,000 kilometers on it. It was a plain Jane 1600cc, one-barrel carburetor, air-cooled engine, but it was literally brand new. And she wouldn't exactly tell me what she paid for it, other than she said a pretty penny. But just the idea that she had it, and this one little car club group car show has a pretty good Volkswagen enthusiast group. It's mostly air cooled, but not all. But it's I just love the idea of community and how car clubs and the culture can sometimes bring different populations together. And I always tell kind of a funny story of I was at I think it was a World of Wheels or something, and there were two stereotypical opposite groups. There was sort of the 1970s Camaro Trans Am group, and there was the Asian hot rodders. So the, you know, Honda Civics with turbochargers and superchargers hung on them, but also sort of like crazy over-the-top Z28s and stuff like that. And the two groups were literally doing death stares at each other. They just, like, you could tell, you know, there was just, it almost looked like a fight was going to break out. And at one point, one of the guys from the Honda group went to go over and ask a question about something he saw on one of the Camaros. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, they just realized they were just enthusiasts. They liked cars. They liked talking about them. They liked talking about how they built them, how they changed them, how they made them better. And what looked like a fight was going to break out, you saw people like exchanging phone numbers and stuff. And just the idea that this culture can bring people together, and all kinds of different people together, I think is what makes it really nice.
Yeah, and we see that kind of just if you look more from a higher level at like the female car enthusiasts, you know, most of my girlfriends that I'm close with, we all have Volkswagens, but, you know, we have friends with Subarus and Hondas and all sorts of different things, and they're awesome Subarus. They're awesome Hondas. They're just really cool cars that we appreciate, too. And it's like, oh, this is just another woman who loves cars as much as us, and maybe she doesn't understand everything about Volkswagens, and we don't understand anything about Hondas, but we understand cars. We understand the headaches and the joys of them. And you come together on that, and you end up with this, like, really cool network of, you know, every make and model, brand, but all the same conversation, right? All the same things that we like and dislike. And it's really cool.
Tell me about the show that you have, and you said it was in September. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so this is our, actually, fifth year having a show. It is called Women of Wolfsburg. It's at the Musquamaket Drive-In in Westerly, Rhode Island. So we rent that for a whole day on a Sunday, and we just tell everyone to come out, every woman. We have categories for, you know, air-cooled, all the different generations of Volkswagens. And then we do allow some, you know, JDM girls to come through, some domestic girls come through. Anyone who wants to come can come. But we are predominantly Volkswagen because that's, like, our big network. And it's an awesome day. It's a totally different vibe than anything you will discover, I think, at other car shows. Everything just feels different, but it's wonderful. We have a great time. We have a ton of girls come out, and it's just, it's a great day. It's my favorite day of the year. I understand I'm biased, but it's really a great time.
And would you let somebody with a Volkswagen-powered dune buggy come to your show?
We would love that. Absolutely.
Because there's a couple of women I met over the years that have dune buggies, and they're in love with them for all the same reasons that, you know, people just, you know, love to drive Volkswagens, and dune buggies just are a little bit different, which makes it fun too. So, do you stay till it gets dark and show a movie?
So we do that the night before normally. Oh, okay. On Saturday. Yep. So we show a movie and everyone comes out for that. We have a lot of girls with the old rabbit pickups Yep. That seems to be kind of the trend lately. So we all sit in the back of the pickups and we'll watch. Last year we did Hocus Pocus. So just a good time. You know, we play off Halloween a little bit. We did move earlier this year because it gets very cold in Westerly in October, turns out. But, yeah, we do a movie the night before, and we do find that everyone kind of stays in town. So you end up with, like, a weekend-long event of Volkswagens kind of cruising up and down on the Squamaket, enjoying it. It's a really great time.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned the Rabbit pickup. That's kind of a cool car. You don't see many of those.
Yeah. It's my favorite. It's my favorite one. I have one. two of my best friends have them, so we are – we all love them. They're cool cars. They're the old diesels. They're like the 1.6 diesels that are notoriously unreliable, but they're a blast. If you don't mind going 55 with 40.
I was going to say, as long as you don't mind not quite doing the speed limit, you're fine. So,
exactly.
And how much of a, I want to say purist of you are you that, you know, actually, I think he's actually in Rhode Island. Smith kit cars, which looks like Smythe kit cars, where he takes Beetles and sells kits and turns them into Utes. Is that like a terrible thing to do to a Beetle, or is that cool?
No. So I mean, I've owned a fair amount of new Beetles, so I love them. But I kind of look at things as like, if it makes the person who owns the car happy, do it, because it's not my car. You know, if you want to have this cool little truck, if you want to have whatever, go enjoy it. I mean, I probably wouldn't do it, but, you know, on the flip side, I'm putting a motor from a 95 GTI into my 1980 Rabbit. So, you know, what's the real difference there?
Yeah, it is a kit car of sorts. Yeah, I suppose. I have a friend that actually took an Audi engine out and put it in a Rabbit. So, yeah, you know, if you can get it to fit and it makes it go faster and you can have fun with it, why not? I happen to be, I'll let you know, I happen to be a fan of the Volkswagen Beetle Ute. I think it is just the coolest thing, and I've only seen a couple in person, and I saw one parked next to a Ferrari at a show one time, and it got more attention than the Ferrari did. It was just really well done and a cool car, and they actually make a kit, I think, for an A4 now too. So but just, they're just so different looking, and they're fun, and like you said, it really is about having fun with it. And tell us, before we let you go, tell us about the charity that Women of Wolfsburg supports.
Yeah, so we support Foundation Blue. They're also from Westerly, Rhode Island, and they donate to basically different scholarship funds. So they're kind of very local, hyper-local to Rhode Island, and we donate to them with everything we do. So anytime we have a raffle, a sale, anything, we support them because they're just absolutely wonderful.
Well, if people want more information, it's womenofwolfsburg.com, right?
Yep.
And Facebook page, too, I would assume?
Yep, along with Instagram.
There you go. Hey, Shay, I want to thank you for taking a little time out of your Sunday morning and joining us on the Car Doctor program.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. And call us. Actually, call us just before your show. That would be fantastic. Try to promote the show a little bit more as well.
For sure. I appreciate that. We definitely
will. All right. Take care. Bye-bye. We need to take a break, pay some bills. My name's John Paul. This is the Car Doctor program. If you would like to join us, 781-837-4900, or send us a text at 781-837-4900, and we'll read your text if you're shy about going on the air.
AAA is with you at every moment in your life. They have 24-hour, 7 roadside assistance, which covers you in any car you're driving or riding in, even a rental or your friend's wheels. They have great member rates on home and auto insurance, savings on travel, hotels, and rental cars, and discounts on hundreds of your favorite brands. You're covered on and off the road. Learn more at aaa.com/join. Quirk Kia South, offering the same great customer sales and service you expect from a Quirk dealership. Come in, browse their huge inventory, and drive home in a brand new Kia, like the 2024 Kia Forte LXS or the 2024 Kia Seltos LX. And the Quirk Service Department will be available to you for the lifetime of your vehicle. Quirk Kia South works for you. Quirk Kia, 923 Plain Street, Marshfield, just off Route 3 at the new Exit 27.
Quirk works to save you money. Quirk works for you.
Visit QuirkKiaMarshfield.com.
Start your Sunday off right with brunch at the Old Hitching Post in Hanson. The Old Hitching Post offers a full buffet brunch every Sunday from 10 to 1. Fill up on all your favorites like eggs and bacon, sausage, home fries, French toast casserole, mac and cheese, homemade hash, fresh seafood, rice, veggies, fresh fruit, quiche, yogurt parfaits, pastries, ham, omelets, eggs benedict, and more. The Old Hitching Post Sunday brunch from 10 to 1 at 48 Spring Street, Route 58. In Hanson, online at oldhp.com. That's oldhp.com.
Hey there, folks. It's Quinn Kelly reminding you to tune in Sunday night at 5 for the South Shore's first voice in sports talk radio, The Sports Exchange. Unmatched coverage of local high school action as well as a relatable voice on all things Boston pro sports. We've got you covered live at 5 every Sunday night. Have a question for our host, missed last week's show, or just want to share a great sports story? You can find us on Twitter at SE on WATD. But remember, mark your calendar, folks, and we'll see you Sunday night at 5 for the Sports Exchange on 95.9 WATD.
Tack it up, buddy, gonna shut you down. It happened on the strip where the road is wide. Two cool shorts standing side by side. Yeah, my fuel injected Stingray and a 413. Revving up their engines and it sounds real mean.
Tack it up, buddy, gonna shut you down.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor program on 95.9 WATD. My name is John Paul, the Car Doctor, here to help you with your car problems. And we haven't done a car review in a while because I haven't really driven that many new cars this past few months. In fact, the folks I get test cars from up in New England asked me when I was coming back up north because they want to try to get me into the schedule up there. Where here in Florida, it's a little bit different. It's the company is completely across the state, which makes it a little bit awkward. And like all test cars, there really isn't that many of them around anymore. And adding one more person into the mix becomes a little bit of a struggle. And I try my best not to be annoying and go, hey, you know, is there some cars I can drive? But while I was out in Denver at the Lifesavers Conference and NHTSA Awards Luncheon, I did talk to the folks out there, and I said, any chance of getting a car road test for a few days while I'm out there? And they asked me whether a Mercedes-Benz CLA 250 4MATIC with winter tires on it would be okay. And I said, yes, of course it would. And although the weather in the Marshfield area right now is pretty nice, although Tim said it's going to get chilly over the next couple of nights, Denver 2 weeks ago, I think, had 18 inches of snow. So, yeah. So the idea of having a Mercedes with that was all-wheel drive and having winter tires on it made me feel quite confident, just in case that craziness would happen again. But the Mercedes CLA 250 4MATIC, in case you're wondering, it's a compact luxury four-door sedan. You could call it entry-level, I suppose. And it blends performance and European luxury with some of the latest technology. Although the CLA is a four-door sedan, it has a sloping roofline. It looks like a coupe. And Mercedes does that with a few models. So it has that kind of two-door coupe styling, but it really is a four-door car. And in some cases, I think Mercedes actually called it a coupe, but the CLA is powered by even though it's a 250, it's powered by a 2-liter turbocharged four-cylinder engine. It develops 221 horsepower. So there used to be a time where the numbers kind of matched something like engine size or horsepower or displacement, or it doesn't really do anything anymore, but it's a CLA 250, 2-liter turbocharged engine, makes 221 horsepower. In the case of our test car, power is delivered to all four wheels through an 8-speed dual-clutch transmission. On the road, the 2-liter turbocharged engine provides what I would call pretty good sprightly acceleration, I guess. You know, 200 in this world, 221 horsepower doesn't sound like a lot of horsepower. In this car, it felt like they underrated the number. Like, there was really more horsepower than it said. The manual shift mode was actually really fun on this car. There's not too many cars that I actually click into manual shift mode. This one was fun, and I think it's that combination of low and mid-range torque. Turbocharged engines typically don't make low-range torque because it has to spin the turbo up. This one was nice. It felt good to drive. The ride's typical of most Mercedes vehicles. It's firm but not overly harsh. Denver does not have smooth roads, and there's a lot of pavement breaks, and probably because they got 2 feet of snow 2 weeks ago. So, you know, you get a lot of freezing and cooling, and the roads aren't that smooth. But Mercedes did a good job of keeping the cabin quiet. You don't get that much road noise. Again, it's a firm ride, but not punishing, I wouldn't say. But not that much road noise. A little bit of wind noise, but not much. The exhaust is interesting, because it's fairly quiet, but has kind of a little bit of a sporty sound to it. Interesting but odd feature is, if you look at the back of the CLA, it appears as if it has dual exhaust tips. But, in fact, they're just for show. There's an actual tailpipe stuck under there. So it's like, I don't know. I can understand it. It looks stylish that way. But make one of them functional at least, you know. But rather than have a tailpipe just stuck under, I don't know.
Wait, so both the tailpipes were decoys?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah, you got to have one that works.
Yeah, at least one that works. You know, make it. Yeah. And it was kind of funny because I kind of looked at it and said, oh, this is weird. There's no exhaust coming out the tailpipes. And I crawled under there and saw a third tailpipe that was actually a single tailpipe, the real one. So, it was weird, but just the way it is. The brakes, like all Mercedes brakes, were firm and powerful and worked really well. The interior of the Mercedes, you know, when we were talking to Shay, talking about what she liked about her brother's Jetta, she liked the way stuff felt, the feel of it. And I don't think, when you look at a Volkswagen, there's probably almost no cars that have as nice of an interior as Volkswagen does. And Mercedes did, you expect it in a Mercedes. You might not expect it in a Volkswagen. But Mercedes did a really good job of, I like the detail of this. They somehow managed to take sort of modern touches, and I hate to use the word modern, but modern touches, and kind of a classic retro design, and they kind of combined them together. I really like the way they did it. Leather upholstery, I mean, they mix leather and wood and aluminum together, and you create kind of this warm and comfortable interior. I like it a lot. The instrument panel display is user adjustable, like a lot of cars today. You can flip the gauges back and forth, do different colors, different choices, and what you want the gauges to look like. I just usually found one, and I was happy with it. I think technical innovation takes center stage in this car. They even though it's sort of entry level, it uses the latest Mercedes. Mercedes calls it the Mercedes-Benz User Experience Infotainment System. The interface integrates voice commands, touch controls, responsive touchscreen. As good as it is, I'm old-fashioned. Give me some more knobs. Give me some more knobs and buttons. I don't like having to go to the infotainment panel, which is basically this giant glass screen, to do some things like adjust the seat controls where I want them, or some of the deeper things that require a couple steps in that aren't readily available with the first button. Sometimes things just become a little too complicated. The front seats, once adjusted, became comfortable. My wife, when she got into the passenger seat, said this is the most uncomfortable seat I've ever been in my life. After playing with the adjustments for about 5 minutes, she finally got it, and she said, that's better. So she got it to where she was comfortable with the seats. They're, like all Mercedes seats, supportive, firm, hold you in place if you were an enthusiastic driver. Sort of like, I describe, Mercedes seats as like a firm mattress. At first, it's like, oh, this mattress is too stiff. But after you get used to it, you realize that's the way it should be. And Mercedes seats are sort of the same way. They're like, oh, they feel too firm. But after a while, you realize that firm is good. The rear seats have plenty of leg and knee room because of the cutout design of the front seats. But the sloping roof line, if you're tall, if you're 6 feet tall and you're in the back, your head's going to hit. That's all there is to it. When I road test a car, I put stuff in the trunk. I sit in all the seating positions. I try them out. And, yeah, the rear seat, not good if you're over 6 feet tall. Maybe in the middle, which isn't a comfortable place to be. But on the sides, yeah, you're going to hit your head. The trunk is padded. It looks nice. There's no spare tire, which bothers me. I like having a spare tire. There is a spare tire repair kit. And interestingly, the battery is mounted in the trunk. So probably for balance, they're probably looking to move that 40, 50 pounds somewhere else other than the front of the car. There is jump start terminals in the front. So if somebody goes to jump it, they can do a jump start. But I'm not a big fan of, unless it's done for a serious racing reason, put batteries under the hood. And some people say, well, they're better in the trunk because they stay cooler and they last longer. Yeah, but you're also running an extra 12 feet of wire that over time could have an issue with starting. So, but batteries in the trunk, that's where it is. Nothing going to do about it. The LED headlights and taillights carry on with the upscale look. They provide good but not blinding light on the road. I noticed when I drove this car at night, lighting was very good, very clean, very white looking. But never did I have somebody coming the other way flashing their lights like they thought my headlights were too bright, which was kind of nice to see. Like most new Mercedes vehicles, it also has a full suite of standard optional, you know, advanced driver assistance features such as adaptive cruise control and lane keeping assist and emergency stop assist. And, you know, it also has engine idle stop. So when you pull up to a light, it shuts off the engine to save fuel and not pollute the air. I find myself shutting it off all the time. I like the idea the auto stop button is right under the push button, so it makes it easy for you to do that. And I know what these batteries and engines and starters are all designed to be able to last longer because of this, but the idea of it starting and stopping periodically just I find annoying. In the time I tested the CLA, I averaged about 27 miles per gallon, according to the trip computer. Fuel economy by the EPA says 25 miles in the city and 35 miles per gallon on the highway. So 27 on average. I honestly didn't drive a lot, but I did drive it enough to, you know, get a real feel for the car. The Mercedes-Benz CLA 4MATIC may not set the benchmark in compact luxury sedans, but it certainly is one of the better ones. The combination of modern, elegant design, the latest tech, and decent performance all blended together in a well-designed package. This is one of these vehicles that individually there may be some things that could be a little bit better, but when you combine them all together, it did really well. So Mercedes-Benz CLA 250 4MATIC. If you want to check out what it looks like, you can find my Instagram page, which is John F. Paul at Instagram. And you can check out some pictures of it and also a picture of the front of the car museum I was at in Denver. I thought that was a good place for it. So there you go, Mercedes-Benz CLA. Next week, we're going to be reviewing something completely different. And what is it? I'm going to be reviewing an electric bicycle. And not just any electric bicycle. This is an electric bicycle that is almost made to replace a car. It's from a company called Fido, F-I-I-D-O, and it is what they call their long tail bike. So it actually has an extended rear section of it with a pretty long place where you can put various accessories like a cargo box or kids' car seat. Even they showed a picture of two kids in car seats on the back. And people put kids in car seats on bicycles all the time. Just doesn't look like a good thing to do with me. It also had an option for a rack that held two additional batteries, which would give it a total range of like 250 miles, more than some electric cars have. This bike also had a regular derailleur, a 6-speed derailleur, so you can pedal it if you want, and you can pedal assist with it, or you can run it on full battery, which it goes, 50 miles or so. It's a heavy bike. We'll get into it all more next week, but I did build a little wooden box for it. I had some leftover wood kicking around the house from another project, so I built this little wooden box for the back of it where I can put I have a little tool bag, so I can actually put some tools in it to do some work, or else I can go to the store and get, some groceries, I suppose, in it. So I can do a variety of different things. So we'll see if it actually could take the place of a car. I'm not 100% sure on that yet. But that's going to be the review coming up next week. So there you go. If you would like to join us, 781-837-4900, 781-837-4900. Phone lines are open. And that phone means... And Tim, do the on-air people hear, do the people listening hear that phone?
Oh, yes. Yeah, everyone gets to hear that little telephone ring. Some probably look around, is that my phone ringing?
I did look down at mine going, did we go off the air and Tim's trying to call me?
No, okay, we're fine. We're still on. No, we have a caller. We have the great, we have Jim in North Reading.
Well, let's talk to Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, John. Or is this Tim?
Tim. Yeah, go ahead. Yes. Go ahead. Yep. Yep. No. It could be Tim if you want.
It's both of us. It's both.
It's both of us. Yeah.
I was trying to listen to the radio because I still can't hear it on the phone.
Oh, all right. We're working on that, by the way. Tim tells me the new studio is coming together nicely, and there's a brand new shiny, never been used audio board that everybody's foaming at the mouth waiting to use.
Still in the box.
Well, you don't have to come back to use it, though.
I'm coming back anyway, so, might as well go into the studio and check it out,
Perfect. I just recently changed a rack on a Grand Caravan and all the lines, and it was a nightmare.
Well, I remember you telling me about a bolt that was frozen. How did you get that bolt out?
We used a torch and burned it out.
Oh, there you go.
It wasn't very safe, but we got it accomplished and ordered some new ones, and that's back together and working.
Good. Okay.
Thank you. I currently are working on a Town and Country 05, same year, so it's almost it's the same car.
Yeah.
And we thought we were going to replace the rack on this one and found out that it's actually the high pressure hose going to the pump.
All right.
But knowing what it was like to do the Grand Caravan, I just got access to a MasterCool flaring tool, and we did an experiment with it, and it came out. The flares came out beautiful. Would you recommend cutting out right at the bottom where it's solid, and putting a new patch on it? Going with buying a new line and then cutting both ends and connecting them, or would you say I should still bite the bullet and take the top line off to get to the high pressure on the bottom on the rack to replace the whole line?
Well, in many cases, on some cars, when you replace a high pressure line, the replacement is two pieces sometimes. So even though right from the factory it may have been a one piece high pressure line, but you all of a sudden you get the original factory replacement. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh wait, this can't be the right one because it's two pieces, and it's exactly what you're going to do. So it's putting in a short piece that has flares and a union, and it sticks it together. So I don't see why you couldn't do that if you wanted to.
Okay, because if it doesn't work and we don't get the correct flaring angles or whatever, I can still take out, bite the bullet, and it's a bear. It's really tough getting in there.
And you're doing this just for the entertainment value, right?
More or less, yes. I recently retired, and we own old cars, and they keep breaking on us.
That's the thing with old cars. They keep you busy. So
terribly.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can you don't mind the patch. Okay.
No, I think that would, you know, as long as the line itself was solid and you just took out the part that's leaking and made up a new piece and were able to do it and put it together with the proper flare, I don't see why not. I mean, the power steering system runs on pretty high pressure, but if it's a flare nut and a union, and it's all, like you said, it's all the right angle that's going to fit together, why not? Why not?
Okay. I feel better with that. Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate it, John.
All right. All right. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Our phone number is 781-837-4900, 781-837-4900. And you can also send us a text and see if the text line works. Tim tells me it does, so I'm all excited about that. Somebody wrote to me and said, I have a 2003 Pontiac Bonneville SSEI with 49,000 miles on it.
Wow.
Low miles. The headlight assemblies are cracked and need replacement. My mechanic allows me to buy the parts, and he charges for labor to install them. He wants $220 for labor to replace the two assemblies, saying it'll take at least 2 hours. Is this reasonable? It seems to me that a few bolts are about all that hold the assemblies in place, and a wiring harness that looks pretty easy to disconnect and connect in the new assemblies. Should it really take 2 hours for a mechanic to make this swap? According to, and I use AllData as a technical database for things, according to AllData, it's going to take about 1.2 hours to remove the old assemblies and put the new one in, and about another 30 minutes or so to properly align the headlights once you get them in. So, you know, so we're up to 1.7 hours at this point. So 2 hours doesn't sound excessive, and at 21 years old, maybe there's some stubborn fasteners or clips or things that are going to break, or something that might be a little bit rusted, even though it's, you know, it is 21 years old. It only has 49,000 miles on it, but it's 21 years old. So 2 hours labor, I think, you know, they probably looked at it and said, yeah, a couple hours, we can swap them over for you. And, you know, that includes, I would assume, includes lining up the headlights to make sure they work. Hey, Tim, it's probably about time for us to take another break, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about that time.
Yeah, why don't we take a break?
Make sure we keep the lights on and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Why don't we take a break? If you would like to join us, 781-837-4900. My name's John Paul. This is the Car Doctor program. You're listening on 95.9 WATD, your South Shores radio station.
Gonna tell you when it's too late. Who's gonna tell you things aren't so great? You can't go on thinking nothing. Who's gonna drive you home tonight?
AAA is with you at every moment in your life. They have 24-hour, 7 roadside assistance, which covers you in any car you're driving or riding in, even a rental or your friend's wheels. They have great member rates on home and auto insurance, savings on travel, hotels, and rental cars, and discounts on hundreds of your favorite brands. You're covered on and off the road. Learn more at AAA.com/join.
Start your Sunday off right with brunch at the Old Hitching Post in Hanson. The Old Hitching Post offers a full buffet brunch every Sunday from 10 to 1. Fill up on all your favorites like eggs and bacon, sausage, home fries, French toast casserole, mac and cheese, homemade hash, fresh seafood, rice, veggies, fresh fruit, quiche, yogurt parfaits, pastries, ham, omelets, eggs benedict, and more. The Old Hitching Post Sunday brunch from 10 to 1 at 48 Spring Street, Route 58 in Hanson. Online at oldhp.com. That's oldhp.com.
Yeah, I can't wait to get to know ya.
Hey, this is Kylie Evans. Tune in to Twilight Showcase Radio, hosted by Sandy Stride and Keith James on 95.9 WATD and also at 95.9 WATD.com. Search for Twilight Showcase on Facebook and visit twilightshowcase.org.
Twilight Showcase, tonight from 8 to 10 on 95.9 WATD.
It's all right.
Welcome back to the Car Doctor program on 95.9 WATD. Talking to Shay Cooper about the women of Wolfsburg reminded me of, in her car collection of 8 or 9 or 10 or 100 Volkswagens that she's owned, where I live in my little tin shack here in Florida, I back up against an actual street with real houses, and behind me is a retired doctor. I bet he's in his 90s. And right after Hurricane Ian, his fence blew down. So we got to talk a little bit more because he didn't have a fence to separate us. And just a very, very nice guy. But one day I was doing something. I was tinkering with my car or something. He kind of saw me. He came over and he says to me, I like Volkswagens. And I said, yeah. He said, back when I was younger. And it's interesting that he lives here, but he built it himself, a cottage up in, I think, Mashpee or somewhere in that area of the Cape. So we had this kind of bond that took place. He's originally from Massachusetts, but his practice was in Connecticut. But he said, I really liked Volkswagens. And I had a Volkswagen Bug when I was in college, and I kind of wanted to get one of those again. So I used to take Friday off my practice and go hang out at this Volkswagen garage, and they would show me some stuff. And he said at one point I had 12 Volkswagens in my yard. So I guess people just collect them, have lots of them. So, and my neighbor from the Cape, who's also a neighbor about 5 or 6 miles away from here, has a dune buggy. And I think at one time, I think he's built 16 Volkswagen powered dune buggies and one Corvair powered one. So, Volkswagens are fun. And, the 2015 Beetle that we have here, saw my wife go out in it just this morning, going out to do some grocery shopping, and it's a convertible. She put the top down and off she went. And the older car that we have at home on the Cape took a little bit of abuse this year, and it wasn't much of a car to start off with. It was the one that I bought fairly inexpensively from a former coworker who was going to just give it to a charity or something because he didn't think it had any real value. I offered him a little bit more than he was asking for it. And he was kind enough to deliver it to me, which was nice. But that's the one I had the auto shop at South Shore Votec, their body shop, and the two girls in the body shop are the ones that did a little bit of body damage. And the girl said to me, well, you know, this is only going to be temporary, you know. And I said, yeah, I know. I'm perfectly happy with that because, at the time, the car was just going to be temporary. Now, Joanne likes driving the car, so we tend to be doing a little bit more to it. But last year I had the car covered over with a car cover that went all the way to the ground. The good thing is it kept the squirrels and mice and things out of the car. The bad thing is, although it was designed to billow around the car, which was enough to keep the air moving, it still was a little bit moldy inside the car when I got in. When I had covered the car, it was a little bit moldy looking. And that was last year. The year before that, we uncovered it. Last year it sat for the entire year, or sat for the entire season. 2 years ago, my wife and my nephew's wife went to the house, took the car cover off of it, and they said, this car cover weighs like 1,000 pounds. And I said, yeah, that's the whole idea, that, you know, it holds tight to the ground so critters can't get in there. Well, this year I went to a regular car cover because the other one was just starting to show a little bit of age and it was awkward to use. And I got a car cover from Empire Car Covers, which I really like. Unfortunately, one of those days where we had like 70 mile an hour winds, the car cover came off, which I thought I had it tied on pretty good, but apparently I didn't. And it was uncovered. And when my wife went to go open the hood to disconnect the battery tender that was there, she said a bunch of little seeds fell out from under the hood. So something was trying to make a nest in, under the hood, in between the hood insulation. She didn't see anything, so she was happy. And she said, well, the brakes were pretty rusty. And she said, but after she drove it a little bit, she said all the rust went away. And she went down to, on her way to her sister's house in Raynham, she stopped at Junior's Automotive in Middleborough and, you know, got her inspection sticker, which I really like the old way that the RMVs, you know, if you were late for your inspection, if you had a September inspection and you didn't get there till October, your next, that inspection would be October. And they did away with that. And now if, in the case of the Volkswagen, it had a March inspection, she got it inspected in April, it still says March on it. And I talked to somebody at the registry. I said, how can we get, you know, I'm late all the time. And they said, well, simple, just go get another inspection in July. And it'll always be July. And I'm like, I don't want to spend another $40. 35, I guess. But anyway, so they said that's the way it goes. Anyway, that's the story. And why I talk about rusty brakes, someone wrote to me and they said they have a car, they only drive 1,000 miles a year, and the rotors get very rusty. What can they do about it? Similar to the rust on the rotors of the Volkswagen, best thing you can do is drive the car. Drive it once a week or so, get going, stop a bunch of times, it'll knock the rust off, keep the brakes all exercised. Well, that sound means we need to go. Thanks to Tim for filling in for Jesse this week. Thank you, Tim.
Oh,
and
you're
until
welcome.
Next week, make sure you wear your seatbelt, drive safely, be good to your car, and if you see an emergency vehicle by the side of the road, slow down or move over. It saves lives. Talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.